definitely agree with everything that you guys have said. I think just by talking to people and doing podcasts on a regular, or well, for Nick, a semi-regular basis, is actually it's so beneficial for you in your day-to-day life and conversations. It can help you talk to other people and interact with them in a way that empowers them to be more open to you and to tell you their story. So my next question is, what are the biggest challenges you guys have faced so far?
Time commitment. The amount of time and energy you have to invest in actually, you know, doing the recordings, editing the podcast, you know, to edit out all the things that might, background noise or whatever, and also engaging with their followers on social media. I think that was definitely something that I learned to be very time consuming. And, you know, just being able to set aside time to devote your energy into podcasting is really important. And a challenge that I kind of learned along the way, how to manage my time better, how to do things more efficiently so I don't use as much time to edit, for example. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I absolutely echo what Nick said about time commitment. And I think that lesson is kind of like a big challenge, but also the biggest reward, because you never really know how big of a beast starting a podcast is until yeah. you actually start the podcast and you realize there's so much that goes on in the background. Whereas on the outside, you see a podcast and you think, hey, that looks very easy and doable. No, you go back and you start it, and it's so much work. And I think that has been so rewarding. And just like Nick, I've learned to kind of streamline certain processes so that it's not taking up too much time, and I can refocus my energy into the most value-added things, which is ultimately having conversations and creating content.
Right. And Jenna?
Yeah, for me, I definitely do echo what they've said, but then, to be honest, I'm really tempted to say the technical difficulties that come along with podcasting. To be honest, I'm still pretty scarred by a very long episode that got semi-destroyed.
So then, oh, no.
Yeah, it was a tough one. So from there, it was just learning about how to read up on different softwares that you use and then understanding different platforms that are available. But then also being able to read up on things, like reading up on different topics, making sure that I personally have enough of an understanding to talk about it and engage listeners who are tuning in.
Right. And the goal of this was to kind of encourage other people to start creating their own podcast. What are some things that people need to know to start, and how can they get started?
I think the thing that I tell anybody, no matter what you are starting, whether a podcast, a YouTube channel, your own business or a passion project, anything at all, is to honestly just get started, because you can listen to things all you want, you can read articles all you want, and you can learn as much as you want, but all of the learning will come as you begin. And the truth is, you will make mistakes. You will make a lot of mistakes in the beginning. You will probably produce the worst episode as your first episode, and that's okay. But just know that you have to trust the process. Just get started and don't be afraid to just get into the trenches and begin.
I think for me, starting a podcast shouldn't be a high cost endeavor. You can always start simple. You can always start. All you need is a microphone or even your earphones. And also you can download free apps like Audacity and Anchor to distribute your content. So it shouldn't be, you know, if financial investment is something you're worried about, I don't think starting off is something that you need to worry about, because, you know, you can start with the minimal tech that you have and then move up from there if you are looking to do it more professionally or, you know, more of a full-time, you know, project. But definitely starting off, you don't need to worry about, you know, it being fancy, buying all the high-tech gear that is involved with podcasting, right? You don't have to think about that too much. Just get it started, like Meg said, and figure out what your theme is. I think sticking to a central theme is really important, because you're going to have so many different content and topics and guests coming on. And if your theme starts to get very wishy-washy, it's easy to lose sight of what your original purpose was in starting the podcast. So I think that needs to be very clear throughout your podcast experience.
Gotcha. Jenna?
Yeah, like to be honest, I yell into my mic. I don't actually have any high-tech equipment, but I would definitely say have a vision, like establish a vision and think in terms of impact. So then think about what kind of benefit you would want to contribute to your community and the environment that you are a part of. And then if your podcast or your endeavor could be well known for one thing, what would it be? And then continue exploring different aspects of that vision. Think of ideas of how you can engage those around you and overall use it to make a difference is what I would say.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Nick touched on this a little bit. And to be honest, he said this is actually the hardest part. How do you guys promote your podcast and how can other people start promoting theirs?
Well, I think a good place to always start is to reach out to your immediate network. So share it to your friends, your family friends, and eventually the word will spread just from, you know, organic promotion within your network. But of course, you want to reach other people as well. So the good thing is that everything is, you know, digital, and there's so many opportunities to engage in groups where other podcasters and supporters hang out. So I was able to join some Facebook groups as well as some chats where there are big podcasting communities. And I was able to kind of share my podcast there and also find other people's podcasts. So that has been a big one. And another huge one is also when you invite your guests on, your guests will usually promote your podcast episode to their followers as well. So personally, that has been one of my biggest sources of traffic, is just guests promoting to their friends.
Right. Nick and Jenna, do you guys follow a similar process?
Yeah. Word of mouth is definitely the biggest promoter for me. I'm not a very big marketing, social media person. Like, mm-hmm. I'm still learning that along the way. But, you know, following Meg's footsteps and getting her advice, you know, starting an Instagram page and, you know, just promoting a little bit of content there so that your viewers have something to follow for new updates, I think is something that is very valuable. Just building engagement there. Outside of just word of mouth, I think that's a good place to start as well.
Gotcha. Jenna?
Yeah, for me personally, I use Instagram. So then just creating an account for the podcast and then following people who are on your personal Instagram's follower list, getting it out there that way, and then sharing it onto your story. Those are just some things that I personally do. I would say if you're someone who wants to go the extra mile, then maybe going on Facebook and maybe even LinkedIn would be really helpful.
Right. All right. So that's basically the end of our interview. And I can say that I'm really inspired to start my own podcast, which is a project that I've always wanted to do, but never been able to get off the ground. How can people listen to your podcast? What are the handles? Where can they find it?
Sure, I can begin. So you can find my podcast anywhere. The name is called I'm in My 20s, and you can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, basically any listening platform. And if you want to have one place where you stay updated, definitely follow our Instagram. The handle is at I'm in My 20s. And yeah, that's where you can find my podcast.
Nick?
So my podcast is also available in many platforms, Spotify, Apple, Google, for example. And you can listen to it called It's Time for Recess. And you can also follow the Instagram page for updates at _ It's Time for Recess. Yeah.
Right. Jenna?
Yep. For mine, it's actually available on 7 different platforms. Yes, I actually got the names. It would be Anchor, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, which is a personal favorite. The name is called Hey Jen. And then if you want to stay updated, you can follow the Instagram page, in which the handle is all lowercase at the Hey Jen Podcast.
Right. Thank you so much, guys. That was Meg Kwong from I'm in My 20s, Nick Yi from It's Time for Recess, and Jenna Leung from Hey Jen. I'm Alistair Young. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hey, everyone. I just want to say thank you again for listening to my 24 Hours of Student Power show. There will be more student content played for the rest of the day, so we hope you stick around. This is Alistair Young, the spoken word executive at CITR 101.9 FM, signing off. See ya.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
I'm Aaron. I'm going to be hosting this hour slot, and we're here interviewing our guest, Seven Tavis. So, Seven, could you tell us who you are?
Hi, yeah, I'm Seven Tavis, or Seven. That's why I never pronounce myself as Seven Tavis. I'm Seven, and I'm a singer-songwriter. I mainly do R&B pop. Yeah, that's lately what I've been doing, a lot of R&B pop, and yeah.
Why did you choose to become a musician, and why do you create music?
Ooh, okay, so growing up, my parents always, like, listened to, like, Michael Jackson, and we watched him a lot growing up, like, just on the TV, and just, like, seeing him, just, like, the way he is able to connect with people through music and seeing the reaction that people have to him, just was, like, I was, like, I want that.
Yeah,
I want to be able to do that and
for sure
have that effect. And so, yeah, that's pretty much why I was like, yeah, I need to do it.
Hey, OB, just put me in.
Give me a time and place. Pull you close, let me grab your waist. We ain't got no time to waste. Oh, yeah. Give me a time and place. Pull you close, let me grab your waist. We ain't got no time to waste. Ooh, we. Hold up. Nobody do it like you. You know what you gotta do. Pulling all these crazy moves, but I know I'll be there for you. Wasting your time on this half-ass man with some weak-ass plans. Zans are the weekend plans. Damn, you can do so much better, baby. Just go get your better, boy. And you know that he's holding you back. Big plans, big move, that's facts. No space, no time, that's why. Be honest, babe, don't you hate that? Give me a time and place. Pull you close, let me grab your waist. We ain't got no time to waste. Oh, yeah. Give me a time and place. Pull you close, let me grab your waist. We ain't got no time to waste. Ooh, we. Hold up. I know I'm the better one for you. You know I'm the better option. I could be the one that you go to. My eyes, you tend to get lost in. You know that I'm popping. Yo, man, he don't do nothing. No, no. He don't even try. He just visualize. That's the end of discussion.
Let me be the one to take you home. He don't love you, man, but do you home? You can be the one to share this.
You can be the one.
So let me be the one to take you home. Take you home.
Give me a time and place. Pull you close. Let me grab your waist. We ain't got no time to waste. Oh, yeah. Time and place, pull you close, let me grab your waist. We ain't gonna turn no waste. Ooh, we. Hold up, give me a time and place. Pull you close, let me grab your waist. We ain't gonna turn no waste. Oh, yeah. Give me a time and place. Pull you close, let me grab your waist. We ain't gonna turn no waste. Ooh, we. Hold up.
What are some, like, you know, general themes or messages that you want to, like, convey using your music?
Yeah, I mean, in my music, I feel like every song I have or everything project I put out, there's a story. And my main thing is just to tell that story, whether it's, like, dealing with heartbreak, whether it's dealing with anxiety. I want to make sure that I'm able to, people are able to relate with it. So it kind of just, like, that's my main thing, is just, like, telling a story and hoping that people can feel something or learn something from it or gain something from it, yeah.
And do you think, like, with music that you're trying to create for, like, those that are experiencing, like you said, heartbreak or, like, maybe some mental health issues, do you think it necessarily has to be towards someone that's similar to you or, like, for anyone?
Really for anyone. I feel like that's the thing. Music is for anyone. You know what I mean? Like, you can go to a, like, this is the crazy thing. It's like, you could have a track in English, but you got people out in Japan who don't even speak English.
Right.
That are, like, singing your words, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
For me, that's the way I see music. It's like, it's everyone. It's universal and anyone can relate to it and, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
I've heard some of your tracks and they're really good.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah, no, I'm being serious. They're really good. So I'm actually curious though, what's your creative process like? Like from the beginning, like just from like creating ideas,
yeah,
like the middle of the production and even like the post-production, like when you're mixing and stuff.
Yeah, like when it comes to, it depends on the track. Like some days I'll go through my email and like producers will send me some beats and I'll go through them.
Mm-hmm.
With this upcoming album, a lot of it was self-produced. Mm-hmm. Usually what I would do with a like brand new track or like starting fresh is like I'll start with like a piano,
mm-hmm.
Whatever, and I'll every idea or like little melodies along the way, like during my day sometimes I'll like take up my phone and mm-hmm. I'll record into voice memo like a melody, and then if I'm having trouble, you know, writing, I'll go through my melodies on my phone and usually start with the piano and just start going over melodies,
okay,
and then
cool.
Yeah, and then lyrics come way later.
Right.
But yeah.
Ooh, actually, we can talk about lyrics, but we can talk about that later
yeah.
on. So speaking of collaborations, I know that you've collabed with some like Break,
yeah,
and a few other artists, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why do you choose these artists? Are they like your friends, or do they just have like has just their music just like just been more like
yeah.
relatable with yeah.
A lot of people that I've collabed with or worked with are I've like known. I know
mm-hmm.
really well. And it was just a matter of time, really. Like Break Music, I met him through another local artist. Not local, but I met him through another artist. He actually currently lives in Switzerland.
Really? Cool.
Break lives in Switzerland,
wow.
Yeah. And we met through a mutual friend, his name's Leno.
Mm-hmm.
And some people might know who he is. He's a pretty well-known rapper in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much I was making a track with him, with Leno, and this is like the first time that I met him too, like first time I met Leno, and we were in a session, and he just gets a FaceTime call from this guy named Braylon. His name's Braylon, but he
yeah,
gets
yeah.
a Break.
Mm-hmm.
And he sends him over, Braylon sends him over this EDM track with like, I think just the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening, and I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like, the guy's crazy.
Yeah.
He's crazy. And I was like, we gotta do it. That was 2 years ago.
Wow,
that's
yeah, so
ago. we've been sitting on these songs for 2 years.
That's crazy. Wow.
But yeah, just like the process as well. So yeah, we kept working together, and then we started working on Out of My Head and Show Me How to Love Again, and
yep. mm-hmm.
just crazy tracks. Yeah, he's a fun guy, so.
Well, speaking on Show Me How to Love Again, because mm-hmm. when I first heard it, I remember it being really like, I was like, yo, this
summer.
Is like, this is like straight up EDM.
Yeah.
Like really like
yeah.
mainstream EDM, right?
Yeah.
It's like something you hear on the radio, right? It's
yeah,
like, it's
no,
really like something to vibe
it,
with.
That's what I thought right away.
Yeah.
When I heard
I was
like, when he sent me it, I was like, dude, this would be so dumb of me not to do anything on it.
Yeah. But like, okay, I'm just like asking, but like,
yeah.
so if you mainly make R&B,
yeah.
which is like quite different from like mainstream radio,
yeah.
I mean, mainstream EDM that you hear on the radio. Is there a reason why you wanted to like diversify your music?
Yeah, I mean,
choice?
Again, like I love music in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the way I look at it is, yes, I love R&B, and R&B is like my main, you know, where I look towards
mm-hmm.
usually. But I think again, music is all about feeling, and when I heard it, when you hear it, you're just like, it's dope, and
right.
it gets you moving. Whether you're into EDM or
yeah,
not,
yeah, for sure.
That's the thing. It's like I wasn't huge on EDM either. Like I have nothing wrong against
yeah,
it,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
but I, you know, it's not my go-to. But when I heard, I was like, "Whoa!" There's emotion already behind it, so
right.
it would be dumb of me not to, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
connect. I can connect with it already, so
mm-hmm.
that's why I did it. Like,
yeah, for
you know
sure,
what I mean?
For sure.
And yeah, so that's kind of like why I didn't want to like put myself in a box, but at the same time, it's like music's all about feeling, and if you feel something,
mm-hmm.
go with that feeling.
Yeah, cool for sure.
Yeah.
And just to follow up on that again, just like you said, with your inspiration from like Boyz II Men and like
mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson,
mm-hmm.
do you ever take like any like inspiration cues from them, or like do you
oh,
or like
was,
do you ever or
yeah.
like do you ever do something that's like really like just very Seven Tavis-y, like, you know how like Michael Jackson, like sometimes he goes like you know, he like
Woo!
Yeah, he goes like that exactly
yeah,
yeah
yeah,
you know
yeah.
like, oh, that's Michael Jackson.
No,
like,
for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I wouldn't say I copy them,
yeah,
but I definitely go look to them for inspiration. So like Michael Jackson has this really good thing of being very percussive when he rap or when he sings, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah,
like all of that I implemented my music. So this album coming out, there's a lot of like percussive parts,
right, for sure,
that come from Michael.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and like Boyz II Men, there's not even a way that to explain it. Like I just grew up listening to them, and like, so obviously it comes out in a lot of my music, like with the riffs and runs and they definitely, I think, what was the question?
I was asking like would you ever consider like maybe in like the future or like having like saying something like an ad lib or something like that, you know? It's like really distinct.
Yeah,
this is Seven, like,
yeah,
someone
for
hears
sure
it, like, this is Seven, you know?
Yeah, I feel like in general I have a very unique tone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people just know it's like,
oh, that's
okay,
true,
it's cool,
right?
Like, yeah, I do have Michael Jackson vibes 100%,
right?
But I feel like, yeah, like sometimes I feel like you can tell.
Yeah,
you know but I feel like, yeah, no, I don't have my own tag. I think that'd be cool though, like a thing that I just do and nobody
else
does.
Yeah, that would be.
When I figure it out, I'll put it in all my music.
Right,
but,
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not there yet, but.
We were lost in the night, didn't know where to go. All the thoughts left behind, gotta take control. Just can't live without you, just can't live without you. Cause baby, when you left me, I didn't know where this was gonna go. But baby, I can do this on my own. On my own, on my own, on my own. Oh, yeah. Show me how to love again. I can tell when we fell out of love. We were hurt, we deserve. When will we ever learn? You love me, I love you. Don't know how we fell through. Don't forget about it, I won't forget about
and
it.
I
just can't live without you, just can't live without you. Cause baby, when you left me, I didn't know where this was gonna go. But baby, I can do this on my own.
On my own.
Hey, are you interested in radio? Passionate about gender issues? Want to be an active part of your community? Then join the wave and become part of CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective. We meet every Friday at 2 p.m. and we want your voice. We are all about empowering everyone and giving you the chance to speak your mind. No experience necessary. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, or email us at genderempowerment@citr.ca.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Listen, everyone's faded. God damn it, I hate it.
close chasing. They are not facing. Facing the music, I just might lose it. Throw up the deuces, go leave them clueless. Answer like who this? Answer like who this, oh. They call in my line, I hit decline. Greet all the signs, cause I'm doing fine. They're wasting my time. Don't be wasting my time. Hold up, just wait, I'm on a wave. Working so hard that I might need a raise. Flowing like rays, pass from the shades. Pass from the shade, yeah. No one's authentic, they all wanna mention. Should've stayed in the section. Should've stayed in the section. No one's authentic, they all wanna mention. Should've stayed in the section. Should've stayed in the section. Ooh, oh, oh, oh. They all are the same, want money and fame, think they're gonna get it. They callin' my phone, who this? When I'm in my zone, who this? No, I'm on my own, who this? Sorry, you not on the list. They callin' my phone, who this? When I'm in my zone, who this? No, I'm on my own, who this? Sorry, you not on the list. Business move, out of business move. Peanut butter, yeah, you know I'm smooth. Michael Jackson looking criminal. Jack's beats hitting critical. Like, whoa, I'm just switching up the flow. People dancing on the flow. Cop and club us on the go. Big, now you watching a show. Whoa, whoa, no whoa. One's authentic. They all wanna mention. Should've stayed in the section. Should've stayed in the section. No one's authentic. They all wanna mention. Should've stayed in the section. Should've stayed in the section.
So with other students also hosting shows on the 24 Hours of Student Power, and them, you know, talking to people about different issues that are currently happening around the world, how do you think that your music relates to an issue? Like, I think you've mentioned, like, mental health.
Yeah, anxiety is my main... What are the main things that I deal with on the day-to-day? And I guess, like, the album does help, but I also, talking about it here also is a big thing.
Right.
I think the main thing for me on this album is kind of just hopefully showing people, and I think relating, people can relate, because I don't really specifically be like, I have this problem, this is whatever.
Right.
But I do, you can see and you can hear, not see, but you can hear... that I'm clearly dealing with a lot of, like, back and forth with my brain, and this is kind of an inside look at my brain, and my hope is that people can see that and be like, wow, he's human, we're all human, we all deal with anxiety, we all deal with stress, and we all deal with it differently, and to see him go through that and see that, and to see that he's okay, and that he figured it out, is, like, kind of me being like, then you got it too, like, everybody... You know, and it is a big issue. Anxiety is a really big issue. Not an issue, but it is something that, like, we all go through. And I think my biggest thing on this album is just being able to show people that I'm human. We're all human, and we go through things. And at the end of the day, we can get through it. And that's my biggest thing.
Yeah, for sure. And just, like, going back to just students... especially now in COVID, you know, with everyone doing, like, online learning, just online version, like, just the transition to adapt to a new, like, learning environment has been really difficult and really impactful for a lot of people's, like, mental health, just because, like,
being inside,
social interaction, it's just been really hard on everyone.
Yeah, for sure.
I know that your music, you know, it's trying to bring to light some of these issues. But do you think it also helps empower students to, you know, like, do you think it, like, this, your music will help empower students in ways that just will make them,
I hope my goal is to, as a human being, but also as an artist and a musician, is to be able to help people understand, again, the whole, going back to, again, being human and knowing that we are allowed to make mistakes and be, like, we're allowed to. It's not like a you're not allowed to mess up. You're allowed to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that in itself is empowering. Because right. then you're just like, wow, like, I saw my favorite rapper. I saw my favorite person go and say this, say the wrong thing, or go and do this thing. Mm-hmm. And to come from that and knowing that, like, wow, but they're still a human being and they're still learning and, like, seeing that
mm-hmm.
is growth in itself. Like, people, I feel like people will just grow so much from just, I think, just watching people mess up and knowing that it's okay and they can mm-hmm. do the exact same thing.
Right, yeah.
You know, and I think that in itself is empowering to go and make you get up and go do something, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, I saw this person just take that little step to go and do this, and now look at where they're at.
Yep.
Because they took that risk. Mm-hmm. And that in itself, I think, again, is empowering.
Right.
That answers the question.
That does. Yeah, and it's, I think what you're saying is really important and things that people need to hear, because I don't think we hear that enough.
No, I don't think so at all. Yeah. I think we, as people, as young people, we're on social media all the time. We see, again, we see all the good.
Mm-hmm.
We see, like, yes, we do see the bad. There's that's very true. We see the problems, 100%. But there's this side to the media and to social media where we just see people living their life. Oh, man, I'm doing this. I'm going to this party. I'm going and
right.
I'm working with this artist. I'm going here. And I'm mm-hmm. great. Life is great.
Mm-hmm.
Reality is, I guarantee you, they turn that camera off or whatever
right.
it is, and they're probably miserable.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you know why? Because they're human.
Right.
And we need to accept that, and we need to know that, like, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
We're good. We, like, I'm at a place now where I know that I struggle with a lot of anxiety and I struggle with this, but I also know that things could be a lot worse, you know? Mm-hmm. I could be in a different living situation, you know?
Right.
But I think, again, we need to accept that we are human, that we're going to mess up, and not be afraid to do that in front of people.
Right, for
because
sure.
Because then that also helps that person that you messed up in front of grow. Mm-hmm. You're like, wow, that person messed up. They're fine. Like, what yeah. the heck?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just growth.
Yeah, yeah. For so sure. And, like, growth, again, ties back just to like, who you are as an artist, as mm-hmm. a person, and mm-hmm. what you want people to feel from your music.
100%.
And I think that's very powerful. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the food bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Listen, yeah.
Put it on black.
Jack, you son of a bitch.
Baby, can we set this straight? You messing with my feelings, I can concentrate. Maybe we just need a break. Long time coming, always being fake. Lily don't know what to say. Been talking to myself and I've been being vague. Thought that we could do this but without the take. Yeah, we back and forth like we are playing tag. Yeah, thought that we could do this but without the take. Yeah, we back and forth like we are playing tag. Yeah, I don't wanna do this no more. Wrong. I've written 6 different songs about you. Please tell me what do I do? Cause all of this is brand new. It's pretty hard to face the truth when you got so much to lose. Yeah, I don't wanna do this no more. Don't know how to deal with closure. Hard for me to say that it's over. Honestly, I ain't been sober. Thought that she loved me, but I know she don't. Don't wanna cut her out of the picture. No. Let this go. Yeah. Thought that she loved me, but I know she don't. Don't wanna cut her out of the picture. No, I'm wanting so badly just to let this go. Yeah. I don't wanna do this no more.
your shoulder. So don't tell me that it's over. Oh, 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 oh. Don't tell me that it's over. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So with, you know, the global pandemic, that's like COVID-19, that's been impacting basically everyone around the world for the past like seven, eight months, right? Since like March. How has this pandemic affected you specifically for as like a musician, you know?
If I'm being real, it might sound really bad, but COVID is like, for as a musician, is low-key a blessing. Like, and it's, not in like an arrogant way, but for real, like it made me, it kind of, I think as soon as it hit for me, it was kind of just like, okay, if I don't work now and I don't have anything ready, I'm not serious, because this is the perfect time to, you're at home, you're stuck at home, you know, and it's the perfect time for you to really write, to do everything, you know, and I feel like it's helped me, like it's obviously horrible that you can't like go out and, you know, do your thing, but at the same time, it's like, it's allowed me to kind of sit back and, you know, see everything that I got, you know, and I feel like, COVID, the whole situation is horrible, and I'm super, it's sad that we all have to kind of stay inside and be safe, and obviously, we should have been doing that already, being safe, but, you know, it happens, but I think for me, it's kind of been a blessing. It's like, okay, now it's time for you to work hard, push your social media. You have time now.
Yeah, right.
There's nothing else for you to be doing. So, yeah, in that sense, yeah, it's helped me out a lot.
Yeah. Well, like, I'm assuming, like, pre-COVID times, you would, like, you know, go to a studio, right, and just record, right? You have everything already there.
Yeah.
Right? You're able to mix, like, on, like, at the spot.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, now, like, everyone has home studios, right? Because everyone has to be at home and record, right? You can't really, like, it's not really that, like, viable to go out really as much now.
Yeah.
And so, like, has your setup, like, at home has changed, like, significantly?
Okay, so it depends. Like, even before COVID, like, what I used to have, I turned my garage into a recording studio. So that was my go-to, right? I would just go to the garage, and I'd be there till like, 4 a.m., 3 a.m. Whatever, and sometimes I'd go to the occasional studio. I started going a little more right before it hit. But because I was so used to just having my own space for it, COVID just made me go in there more and appreciate the space. So yeah, of course, like mixing and stuff is really important, but because of the internet and everything is online and like, people email me and send me their tracks, and then I hop on it, and it's just easier for me. I'm very like, when it comes to writing, I love doing it. Like me and him, I know people can't see it, but this is my friend Esteban. we write a lot together, and so usually I would like, pre-COVID, like artists would come in, we'd record, and I'd have to write on the spot, which is fine. But having that time alone and doing that on your own is so much better.
And, sure.
Yeah, so I think just having that time and space to kind of do things on my own and figure it out, like, it's made me, you know, because usually I would occasionally send it to people to mix and send my vocals to people to mix, and I'd get that mix back and sometimes be like, okay, I don't like this at all. So it made me kind of start to learn more about the other side.
Right.
Like, there's the fun part, which is the writing and the singing and whatever. But there's a whole other side to music of, like, the production and mixing and EQing and everything. So it's kind of made me appreciate that part more and learn how to do it, too. And so, yeah, I feel like I've gotten so much better with, like, mixing and recording. Like, everything on this album coming up is all done by me, like, mixed and mastered and everything.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So I hope people like it. I'm excited.
Yeah, people definitely will.
Thank you.
Yeah. But, like, I'm just curious because, I mean, I'm not a musician myself, but, like, it's cool to see, like, a musician's, like, perspective. I have a lot of other friends that, like, make music. They're solo artists. But, like, that was, like, you know, pre-COVID. So, like, everyone's always, like, in-person collaborating. And, like, you know, I feel like when you're in-person, you know, everyone, like, misses that aspect. It's, like, you can just, like, talk, right?
Yeah.
But, like, when you're on, like, a phone or, like, video chatting, like, it's like,
not the same.
Right?
It's not the same. Me and, actually, we wrote Out of My Head was written over FaceTime.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's pretty crazy.
And like, yeah, that was really cool. Was that?
Yeah.
Was
I think
it?
Was
it right before? I think it was right before everything, but because he lives in Switzerland,
right?
It's like time is different too. Uh-huh. So usually when he's FaceTiming us, for us it's like middle of the day or early in the day. For him, it's like 2 a.m.
Wow.
And we were just. It's just it's. There is a thing, an aspect of like being in person, and don't get me wrong, I'd rather be in person and make a track because of the energy is better.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a whole other vibe to just being over FaceTime and just freaking out and getting excited over ideas and just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
but it's definitely fun. Yeah, like I love.
Do you actually prefer it? Like now that you have also experienced like being forced to like. Like, at first you were being, like, forced to just do online.
Yeah.
But now that you've actually got used to doing a lot of stuff, like, virtually, like, do you like it? Like I mean, you said you did, but, like,
I like both. I like that now I'm kind of able to do both and not be afraid.
Right.
but I love both. I love doing it all. Like, I love going over FaceTime and just going with ideas. It's just different. It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool, right?
It feels cooler.
Right, it feels different, right? It's a different way of making ideas, right?
But then when you're in a room with a group of people and you're making music, it's also another thing. It's like, wow, like what I love, and I will always say this, whether it's horrible, we come up with something horrible, or come up with something new.
Mm-hmm.
Like going into a room, starting off with like nothing, literally nothing, just like barely of an idea. And then coming out of that room or whatever off that phone call and being like, whoa, we just made a track.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy.
Isn't that, like, it's just, it blows my mind.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Let me just, like, look. So, speaking of, like, you know how, like, a lot of musicians, right? Like, not only do they just create music for people to listen to, like, on their phones, like, through, like, streaming services, but, like... live music is also just a huge part of it, right?
Oh,
and
huge part.
Yeah, I know that, like, even now, like, live music is basically canceled at this point.
Oh, yeah. No,
but,
Yeah. Do
you think people can get by to be really successful even without that live music aspect?
I think now, yeah.
Now,
I think maybe, like, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe not.
Yep.
But I feel like because of the world that we live in, where you got TikTok, you got Instagram,
right.
You got YouTube... Mm-hmm. YouTubers are probably making more money now than they were before because everybody's at home, like, on their phone.
Mm-hmm. That's
and,
true.
You know
that
what
is
I mean?
True. Yeah, that is
and
so true.
And, like, TikTok, I haven't been using it that much, but I know that, like, that's something I need to start working on because it's, like, people are constantly on that thing. I find myself scrolling and being like, wow, this is a crazy idea.
Yeah.
Damn, this person is at home getting thousands of streams, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just because of the way we are in the world now where people are just on their phone and they will, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so I feel like now, especially during COVID, it's that time to like grind.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And
yeah, of course.
And then once show starts coming back,
you're
going to kill it because you've made this online following. You've made this, you know what I mean?
For sure, for
this platform for yourself, so.
Yeah. Well, if you had to give some, like, advice to, like, you know, other student musicians or people like you, you know? Like, students that are, like, they want to make music, they want to... Or, like, not even just music, you know? They just want to, like...
They want to do...
They want to, like, just do, like, have a platform where they can express, like, their ideas or, like, their feelings, right? Like, do you have any advice for people, like people? Like, how you can empower them?
Yeah, I mean, something that I always struggle with and I still constantly struggle with is caring.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just thinking... Being too much in my head and thinking about what everybody else... Well, will this person like this track? Or will this person even listen to it?
Mm-hmm.
Reality is, you just gotta do it. You can't be afraid to... This is something I constantly tell myself, too. It's like, especially with music. Music is you're supposed to be creative.
Right.
You're supposed to show yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also why people mess with Billie Eilish. Where people mess with, you know, like... They're not afraid to... truly be themselves, and that's what matters the most, and that's why people connect, is because they see that person, Billie Eilish, being vulnerable, and they're like, wow, I love that, I can connect with that, and that's what's going to make you successful, you know what I mean, and truly being creative and allowing yourself to make mistakes. I've made multiple mistakes over music, and I've made, you know what I mean, but it's a point now where you just need to just be yourself and not be afraid to go, and I know so many people say that, just be yourself, like, whatever, and they'll like you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's scary. And I understand that aspect because we live in a world where people judge a lot, and you can see it in the comments, you can see it everywhere, so people stay in their bubble,
right?
Which is fine, and it's safe, but at the same time, if you want to make it and you want to be successful, you can't be in that bubble.
In the context of Vancouver's opioid crisis, CITR would like to take a moment to share some harm reduction strategies.
Try not to do drugs alone. When going out, let friends know what drugs you're taking and make sure someone has an naloxone kit. If you're able to, get your drugs tested before taking them.
Avoid mixing opioids with alcohol or stimulants. Remember that opioids can include painkillers prescribed by a doctor, and it's possible for any drugs to be contaminated with opioids.
Learn the signs of opioid overdose, which include, but are not limited to, unresponsiveness or unconsciousness, inability to speak, breathing that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, heartbeat that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, skin tone that has turned blue or gray, choking or gurgling sounds.
If you think someone is overdosing, call 911 immediately. Start rescue breathing and administer naloxone if you have it. You cannot get in trouble for being on drugs, so always call 911 in an emergency.
For more information about naloxone kits and training, visit towardtheheart.com.
Thank you and stay safe.
You have a new album coming out.
Yeah.
It's debuting tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's called Clouded.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to pick the name Clouded?
Yeah. When I was writing it, right? Well, I didn't know that. Most of the time, I just write to write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I make songs as I go, and I realized when I decided to do an album. I was listening to all the tracks that I made, and I was just like, wow, a lot of it is like nothing is really for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of shows that what goes on in my brain, kind of like me, you know, just I, you know, girl issues, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of it for me was like I struggle with like not being able to say what I want and not being able to do that because of my anxiety and being afraid to speak up and being afraid to really say how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So everything gets clouded because I don't really know how to feel because I have this person saying this thing,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like I don't know how I feel. So everything in a way, the way to sum it all was that things are clouded. Nothing is for sure.
Right. Wow. You know? That actually fits really well. And I never really thought about it like that, but that makes so much sense.
Thank you.
So your new album is going to have 7 new songs, eh?
Yeah.
And is there I'm not like saying that there should be a reason for, like, I'm just asking.
Do you want to know the reason why there's 7 songs?
Yeah, like, yeah. Is there a reason why there's 7 songs or why they're structured in, like, that order?
I mean, 7 songs is just because of, 7. Like, my...
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, I didn't think about that either, but wow, okay.
I was like, how many songs should I do? He's like, dude, you gotta do 7 songs.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool.
I didn't think about that until, like, just now. So, like, 7. That's
yeah, 7 songs because my name is 7.
Right. Okay, cool. That's crazy. Okay, so you've made, like, mainstream EDM music to...
Mm-hmm.
R&B to like kind of in between, everything in between like that. For this new album, what do you think like the main musical style? What's like the style you're trying to aim for?
I mean, here's the thing. Again, I don't want to put myself in a box and be like, it's just R&B, it's just this. But I think a lot of it is just music. The way I describe it is just a lot of like emotion, I guess, in a way. Like just,
right.
I feel like, again, this is my first album. This is my like introduction.
Right.
So a lot of it is just things that inspire me. So yeah, it has R&B influences, and it does have pop influences.
Right.
But for like as a whole, it's kind of hard to describe it. It's a lot of, for me, the way I see it is just like me just storytelling.
Right. For
and,
sure.
And you know, if that helps at all. But yeah, I didn't want to put myself in a box and like this is just R&B. This is just pop. This
yeah.
is, you know what I mean?
You didn't want to just like confine it to just one genre,
yeah,
right?
It's just
yeah.
like this is if someone sent me an EDM track,
yeah,
and I was like, dang, this is how I'm feeling at the moment, and it went well with the storyline of the album, I would have put it in the album. And someone's like, why is it? Because I don't, you know, there's nothing I don't want to put myself in this box.
Right, of course.
You just do R&B.
Yeah, exactly,
you know
exactly.
I mean?
No, that makes total sense. Like ton of artists do it too anyways.
Yeah, 100%.
And just with like just this diversification of like your music, apart from like it just being like sick to make all kinds of music, do you think this is also kind of like a process like that you've developed over time from like, for example, when you first started making music, you're like, okay, I just want to make R&B, and then you're like, oh, but EDM's pretty good too. And then like, do you think this new album is like a good way of like showing how much you've developed as an artist in terms of like your creating process?
Yeah, I think it's helped me a lot. Music in general has helped me a lot figure out who I am as a person. And, you know, I'm still growing and still learning. And again, with my music. Mm-hmm. In a couple of years, you could hear me doing like hip hop.
Right.
Like, what? But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What I'm saying. It's like, I think this album has helped me more with just expressing myself. And again, this is me going back to not being afraid to say how I feel and expressing myself. So, yeah, I feel like this album in general is just, it's about growth.
Right, for sure. You know? That's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of what I wanted to get at, this whole, with music in general, is just growth. And I'm still growing, and I'm still, and I want to be able to show people through my music that that's part of life. You just grow and you make mistakes, and that's the album. That's the album, like, with me trying to figure everything out and going through life and just not really knowing.
Right, yeah,
and
of course.
Being okay with that. Because I think something that I struggle with a lot is, and I talk to my friend about it all the time, like, I can be so one-sided and only see one thing sometimes, and I think a part of this, it just explains my brain. It's like, but I feel like this, but I feel like this. And then, you know, it's just, everything gets clouded. And I think,
for sure. Yeah, like, I think, not even just for me, but for many people, this is something that's, like, really relatable. Like, trying to be really controlling of your life, you know? And, yeah, just basically just, you just kind of have to live to go with, like, with life, you know, go with the flow.
Yeah, you gotta be not afraid to mess up.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, speaking of that, and how, like, emotional, you said previously that your album is like clouded, like the meaning behind it is just because, you know, you have so many thoughts that you want to put out. So would you say that for someone to listen to this album, would you think they would be emotionally affected by this music?
That's the plan.
That's the plan for
people to feel something. I mean when I was writing it, I was going through so many things, and because we are all at this age, and all at this, like, majority of the people that listen to me are my age.
Right, like students as well.
Yeah, students as well. I feel like this album is just what I was trying to get at, was just for people to feel something and not, like, get kind of, again, follow along with my storyline, but kind of create their own of what I'm thinking, you know? It's like, in their brain, they're like, oh, man, he's dealing with this, and I just went through this. Like, I want to know how, this is how he dealt with it.
Yeah.
Like, I go through the same thing. And the whole point of this album is just to kind of show people my brain and how I think, and maybe the person that's listening to it can be like, wow, this is crazy. Like, I can relate to this. I feel this way, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, just in relationships, like, just this album being very, like, expressive and emotional in relation to lyrics, because lyrics is, as you know, like, incredibly important in how you express, like, a story or a message. It's not just, like, the melody, right? The melody helps, like, create a tune, but 100%. The lyrics are incredibly important as well. And do you think that in this album that, are there, like, any particular songs or, like, even maybe lines that you think have been very, like, impactful? I know this sounds like a really hard question, but you can be vague about it too, honestly.
It's not that I'm really bad at remembering. But this I think, as a whole, I'm very, like, straightforward with my lyrics. I know a lot of artists, and I'm not, I don't bash it at all, but a lot of artists, you know, they're secretive in a way with how they say things, and me as a person too, I'm just very straightforward. So I feel like in my lyrics, it kind of just like, wow, he's feeling this way, and I know he's feeling this way.
Yep.
And that's just like, I feel like a lot of my lyrics are very to the point and exactly how I'm feeling, and it doesn't hide anything. It's super vulnerable, and because I feel like that's how I am as a person. I'm very vulnerable.
Right. But I think being vulnerable can actually be good in many ways. 100%.
And I think more people need to be more vulnerable because again, with the whole thing, people can't read your mind. So they don't know how you're feeling. They don't know how you're doing until you say, hey, this is how I'm feeling. The album is about me kind of not really saying how I'm feeling and kind of going back and forth on how I'm feeling because I don't know sometimes. So yeah, if that helps. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, for sure. That definitely answers the question. However, I do still want to talk a bit more about the lyrics, if that's okay with you. Is there, like, within their lyrics, is there, like, a style, like, throughout the album? Like are the lyrics, like, consistent all throughout, like that sounds kind of vague, but
all consistent through,
like,
the album.
Yeah, like, is there, like, a lyrical style, like, you know, the way you present, like, your voice, like throughout the album, in your tracks, you know, like pacing of,
I
like,
think
right
I think
or like wait sorry, yeah. sorry like just also just to add on to that question,
yeah,
do you think your lyrics provoke any, like, strong visual imagery, you know, like, do you, like, when you hear your music, when you sing, do you want people to, like, visualize, like, what you're saying in their head, like, very strongly?
I wouldn't say visualize, but I would say feel. Again, like, my biggest thing is through this whole album, lyrically, whatever it is to feel something. And, you know, I feel like with people our age and our generation, they're scared to.
Right, for sure.
They're scared to be vulnerable because you got, like, a lot of, like, again, with, like, the whole Instagram and social media, everybody wants you to see, on social media, you only see the happy parts.
Right.
People only let you see what they want you to see. And I think this album kind of, the way I can explain it in the best way is, like, it's just vulnerable.
Right, for sure.
And emotion. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is just me, you know, right off the bat, in the beginning of my first song, is just me talking about, like, without giving everything away, it's just talking about, like, this person in my life that I'm like, wow, I admire this person so much, and I get emotional about it, and I have that vulnerability.
Right.
And that kind of is the vibe for the whole album, is me just being vulnerable.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. And yeah, but, like, just in addition, do you have any, like, do your tracks express the point of view of, like, different personas or characters? Like, I'm thinking of a song, for example, I've heard, like, Swimming Pools, Kendrick Lamar. Have you heard that song?
I've listened to it. I haven't...
Well, no, it's okay. You don't actually have to know the context of it. But just in it, like, the first verse, Kendrick's, like, speaking of it, like, his just normally speaking. Like, and then in the second verse, it goes into, like, the perspective of his mind. Like, I don't know if your songs have, like... Or, like, do they try to convey, like, maybe someone else's perspective?
Yes, 100%. Right? Yeah, I think there's... When you hear it, it'll be easier to express, to explain. But one of my songs, I just explain... I'm talking... In the beginning of one of my tracks, I'm talking about, you know, my side, being like, this is how I feel, and this is what's going on in my brain, and, like, I don't understand, blah, 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 and then it cuts to the next song, and that's the other person or the other side's perspective, being like, but this is how I feel, and this is how you made me feel. So yeah, and that way there's two sides and there's two explanations.
Cool, for sure.
Yeah.
Say that you love me, don't want me to stay. Too many mixed signals, this ain't okay. This ain't okay, love, this ain't okay. Yeah, used to be different, now we so distant. Be by your side, almost like instant. Ain't no reply, act like you busy, I know that you lied. You can't look me in my eye, I get no hugs or goodbyes. You got me wondering why you drifted, gave me no warning. You just shifted one early morning. No, you don't make no sense. Get my back up on the fence. Way too intense for me. You pull me close, push me away. You say that you love me, don't want me to stay. Too many mixed signals, this ain't okay. This ain't okay, love, this ain't okay.
So, in this past podcast interview, within this time slot. It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, man. Thank you for
and
having me.
And it's good to know that you've focused a lot of your music on helping everyone and students, especially here at UBC, understand the importance of just being vulnerable at times, why it's important to express your feelings,
100%.
And just how you've